won't be too long tonight because we have the business meeting afterwards. And take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And this is a continuation of this morning's service, this morning's sermon. And we were talking about spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let us look down to verse 2, and we'll read through 8 or 9. It says, "As newborns desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." You know, when you first get saved, you love hearing about the Lord. You love hearing about salvation, right? And you first get saved, and if every message is about salvation, it seems to be okay. But then after a while, you start getting hungry for something that has a little bit more substance to it. When you have a baby, at first you give the baby just milk, and then eventually you have to start giving them the single grain cereal and stuff, because it can't, the milk doesn't satisfy it anymore. And as you grow in the Lord, you're going to want to know more than Jesus died for your sins, and if you trust Him, you're going to heaven. It says this in verse 4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices." Okay? And so we discovered this morning that is our purpose, that is our function, that is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants you to offer a spiritual sacrifice. Now, you can't do that if you don't know what they are, right? And this morning we learned about what three of them were. And we learned about does anybody remember from this morning what one of the sacrifices of spiritual sacrifice was? Joy? Thanksgiving? And giving, right? And that's a spiritual sacrifice that the Lord is pleased with. And so we're going to look at the rest of them tonight quickly, hopefully. And so we want to be obedient Christians. And if you're doing what you're supposed to do, the Lord is precious to you, as you see here. And if you're not, then he's a stumbling stone to you and a rock of offense. You ever meet people that profess to be Christians and you say, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you about the Lord." And they get all angry. And you say, I thought you were a Christian." "Yes, well, I don't like to talk about stuff like that. It's personal to me." I said, "What is wrong with you? The Lord saved me. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. And that's all I want to talk about." And if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing what God created you to do, then guess what? Jesus Christ is going to be a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. And you can talk about Mary and nobody gets offended. You can talk about Buddha and no one gets offended. But when you talk about Jesus Christ, everyone gets offended. Isn't that crazy? So, you are supposed to be offering to the Lord the spiritual sacrifices. And, you know, I don't know, if you have something and it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, it's broken, right? We have the heater in our house and it was broken. And I had Malachi fix it today, and you know how he fixed it? By turning on the gas. I said, "Why have we been suffering just because the gas valve was off, right?" But so we turned the heater back on. I thought it was broken. I had to get rid of it. But listen, if you are not offering the Lord spiritual sacrifices, then you're broken or your gas valve is not on, okay? Because that's what the Lord intends for you to do, is to offer Him spiritual sacrifices. And let's look at a couple of them tonight. Look at Psalm chapter 50 and verse 23 and Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Psalm 50 in verse 23. And the Bible says here, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me," right? And that's an offering. You offer praise, that's like a sacrifice. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Now look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15, the Bible says, by him, that's Jesus Christ, they're acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, right? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of what? Praise to God, how often? Continually, that is the fruit of our life, giving thanks to his name. So, if you're thinking about this Christmas, what you can get the Lord Jesus Christ and what you can do for him, you know what I do? I have it written in the front of my Bible right here, a list of spiritual sacrifices, right? And it says, what can I do for the Lord? And then he lists right there, there's 9 spiritual sacrifices and I have the reference beside them. People say, I want to do something for the Lord. Well, you can offer him spiritual sacrifices that he desires. And one of those spiritual sacrifices is the sacrifice of praise. And I don't know, but it ought to be a standard response to you. Praise the Lord, right? Listen, you know what the Bible says? It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord says he pulled me up out of a miry pit and put a new song in my heart, even praise to our God. And many will hear it and they'll be blessed and such like. So you know what? It should be a continual thing. That it's a standard response, praise the Lord. And you find a good deal at the store, praise the Lord. And you go to the cashier and they say that's 40% off. And I say, wow, praise the Lord. And I put on a nice pair of shoes and I say, wow, that is comfortable. Praise the Lord and thankful for a wife that'll buy them. You find a good deal on avocados, praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, avocados now are almost as expensive as gold. And the other day I walked into HEB and they were 50 cents each and they were perfect. Amen? Praise the Lord. But that ought to be a standard response for something that you have. You know, the other day, and I don't know if there's something wrong with me, but something that tastes good always makes me praise the Lord. I mean, I don't know. I love food, right? And I get that, and you know, I love Thai food, and I like it better than Menuda. And if you've only had Menuda, you ought to try green curry chicken. It'll change your life, amen? And I go to the Thai restaurant, and I would get this green curry chicken, and they give you the spice levels, right? You can get 1 through 5 spicy, or 1 through 10, and I always get 5 or 8, and just get it as spicy as I can. And when I'm eating it, my eyes are watering, I'm crying, but it's so good that I can't even stop eating. I can't even slow down, right? But then I get the bill and I say, you know, there ought to be a way where the average American can make green curry of their own accord. And the other day I was at the restaurant, I was at Sprouts, and I saw something on the shelf and it said, Thai green curry. And I said, look, that... I think I can do this. And I got this little thing of curry, and it's precious. It's like gold. And I went home, and I put those couple scoops in the pot, and I put some coconut milk in there, and I cut up some chicken and cut up some red bell peppers and green bell peppers. I got me a few bamboo shoots from HEB for 82 cents, and I put all that in there and put cayenne pepper in there, and stirred it all up, and you know what? I tasted it, and I said, wow, praise the Lord. I don't need a Thai restaurant anymore, and we're sitting there eating it, and I'm trying to convince Michelle that it's good, and she doesn't like it no matter how often I make her eat it. She never likes it. I don't know what's wrong with her. And then my brother walks in, and he goes there, and he's like, wow, can you make green curry at home? And he got it, and you know what? Praise the Lord for good-tasting food. The Lord gave us all the creatures to enjoy. And you know what? I enjoy the chickens and the cows. And listen, there ought to be something in your life that makes you praise the Lord. There ought to be some time in your life where you just look up at the Lord and you say, wow, you are so good. And I just want to spend time praising you and thanking you. And he put a new song in my heart. And he says, David said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him." That's how you praise him. You praise him with voice, and you praise him with song. And don't offer him a half-hearted song. You know, I love it when I see children get up and sing, and we have the children get up and sing sometimes. And I love it to see these kids just open up their pipes and bellow praises out, singing to the Lord, right? And I can't sing on tune, and I couldn't carry a tune in a 55-gallon drum, but I'm not going to offer the Lord a half-hearted song, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Therefore, my lips shall praise thee. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, one thing that makes Christianity different is this. And if you look in your hymn book, you have two hymn books in front of you, and the blue one, it has, the last song is under like 100 pages, but come on, how long is this last song? And it's Hallelujah, too. It's 479 songs. You know, I broke down the other day, and I called USAA, and they sent the wrecker to come tow me with my roadside assistance, and the guy's name was Savan, and he was a Muslim. And you know what? They don't have a hymn book about Muhammad. Ye have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. You ever heard them sing about Buddha that way or Muhammad that way? You know? The only time, I'll tell you what, they don't have a hymn book. And you know how the Lord's so precious and special is because people sing about him. And people sing when they're happy and they sing to the Lord. There's a song you can look up on YouTube sometime if you're very brave, and it's called Atheists Have Got No Song, right? They don't have a song, and we have a song. And you know, praising the Lord has always been part of my DNA and my culture. And when I was a child, it used to embarrass me. But if you call my home right now, where I grew up, you know what's going to happen? If somebody answers the phone, they don't do that anymore, but when they used to answer the phone, here's how it happened. Praise the Lord, this is Betsy, how may I help you? I'm like, Mom, stop it, just say hello, right? But every time she met somebody, the first thing she would say is, praise the Lord. And I could never get her to stop. And then I find myself all the time when I'm talking to people saying, praise the Lord, wow, that is so great. I'm like, what is happening here? It's like I've turned into my mother, praise the Lord. All right, let's look at another one. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 17. So what is a sacrifice, something you can offer the Lord? You can offer him the sacrifice of praise. Psalm 51 and verse 17. And the Bible says here, the sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. You know what that is? That's humility. You know what a sacrifice to the Lord is? Is coming down off of your high pedestal and being humble. And, you know, being humble is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking less about yourself, right? And so, you know what? The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. It says in Isaiah 13 and verse 11, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. The Bible says, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humility is not saying, I'm so terrible, I'm no good, I'm such a sinner. It's saying, Lord, you're the boss. Now, what do you want me to do? I recognize what your place is, and I recognize what my place is. And pride is something that we all struggle with. I want you to look. Here's a verse that helps me when it comes to pride and to be humble a lot. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. And one thing that you can give the Lord, and you say, I wish I could sing. I do too. I wish I could do something like that for the Lord. Well, one thing you can always do for the Lord is you can give Him a humble spirit and a contrite heart, and that's a sacrifice that He accepts. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another. It says this, for who maketh thee to differ from another? Let's say you have blonde hair and I have brown hair, and you have blue eyes and I have hazel eyes. Who made us differ one from another? The Lord did. And then here's one of my favorite lines. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do you have that the Lord didn't give you? Your IQ? Your brain? Your skin color? Your eye color? Your hair color? Well, maybe God didn't give it to you, but He gave you the money at Walmart to buy it. Amen? But listen, why are you glorying in those things as if you had something to do with it? You know, I think the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen is somebody that is proud because of the way they look. You know, it was the Lord that didn't put a big wart on your nose, or did put a big wart on your nose, right? But why in the world do you think that the way you look makes you more important than somebody else? That, you know what that is? That's the epitome of pride and arrogancy, and it's something that the Lord hates. The Lord did it. Praise the Lord, amen? But you don't have anything that you haven't received. God gave you your job, He gave you your life, He gave you your breath, and if you've been a good steward and done well with those opportunities, praise the Lord, but it's God that gave you the opportunity. No two men are given the same ability or the same opportunity, but you are judged by the ability you're given and the opportunity that you're given, and you ought to make the best of both of those things. The sacrifice of humility, and there was Herod, and there were all these kings. He gave a speech, and they said, boy, it's the voice of God, and it's not the voice of a man. And the Lord smote him. He was eaten up of worms and died. Why? Because he took the glory that was meant for God for himself. Right? And you know what? This is something that the Lord doesn't like when we steal his glory. He said, my praise will I not give to another. I see people all the time and they have these statues they pray to, and they said, Saint Christopher delivered me, or Mary did this or that. I said, that's an offense to the Lord. They didn't do that. The Lord Jesus Christ did that. And don't steal his glory and try to give it to another. You know how we do it as Christians all the time? Hey, how's that going on the house? Oh, good, we're supposed to close Tuesday. Good, I prayed for you. You did. Well, thank you. Are you trying to say that God helped me, or are you trying to say that I helped you? Right? I just want you to know I prayed for you. No, I just want you to know that the Lord is merciful, and if He answered your prayer, praise the Lord. And it had nothing to do with me. But we always try to take what is meant for God and give it to ourselves. And you know what the Lord wants? He wants us to have the sacrifice of a humble, a broken spirit, and a contrite heart. We have nothing to be proud of. We've just been blessed. And it's so hard for some people to look at a bum laying there in his urine and his puke, drunk, sleeping in the cold, sleeping in the rain, and say, but for the grace of God, there go I am no better than him. Because most people do think they're better than him. And you're not. The sacrifice of God, it's a broken spirit and a contrite heart. The Lord will not refuse it. Look at Psalm 141:1. Let's move quickly. Psalm 141:1. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as what? The evening sacrifice. You know what is a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice that you're to give to the Lord? It's the sacrifice of prayer. You know what it says that prayer is like? You know, they had the altar of incense, which was the highest piece of furniture in the tabernacle. And that incense that was burnt there was a type of prayer. Let me ask you this. Does the incense of prayer ever drift from your room to the Lord? You know what incense does? It makes an ordinary room smell good, and it covers stench. And you know what prayer will do? It will take an ordinary life and turn it into an extraordinary life. And why people pray so little is it's a sacrifice to pray. Now, prayer is not about what you want, but it's about what He wants. And I think if you could get a hold of that, it might change your prayer life and change your life. Because so many people look at prayer as getting what they want. But what prayer is, it's giving God what He wants. It's a sacrifice, and we're giving something to the Lord. We're burning incense to Him, but that's not what He wants anymore. He wants prayer, and we're praying to Him. We're giving Him what He wants. Doesn't the Bible say, on earth as it is in heaven? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What prayer is trying to align your priorities with the Lord and get His will done on earth. Prayer is communicating with God. And if you love someone, you desire time with them. And when you spend time in prayer, you're letting the Lord know, you're more important to me than football. You're more important to me than other people. You're more important to me than television and shows. You're more important to me than sleep. You're more important to me than anything I could be doing right now. And you spend time with the Lord in prayer. And you know what you ought to do sometimes? You ought to go in your closet and just say, Lord, you made heaven and earth and all that is in them, and you're a great God, and thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son to die for me. I love you. And you know what the Lord does? He smells that as an incense, and it's a sweet smell to him. He loves it when his people call to him and pray to him. And you know what? This is one of the battles that we'll fight, and it's a difficult time to thing to do. Your flesh will always hate to get down and pray, but you know what? Keep on doing it because it's a sacrifice that the Lord wants. And if you don't believe in spiritual warfare, then go home and get on your knees and start to pray. And you know what's going to happen? The telephone's going to ring, and the doorbell's going to ring. And people are going to interrupt you, and all kinds of things are going to happen because you started to pray, and the devil doesn't want you to pray. Look at Psalm chapter 4 and verse 5. Let's look at another one. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 5. And the Bible says here, offer the sacrifices of what? Righteousness. You know what a sacrifice that the Lord wants is? He wants you to live a righteous life. And it's a hard one because you have to deny yourself the pleasure that sin offers. But can you call yourself righteous? To offer this one, you have to live right and you have to do right. And it takes a lot of self-denial. And it combines with all the other sacrifices. To offer the sacrifice of righteousness, you have to stop flirting with sin. And you know what? Let me tell you this. There's no pleasure sin can give you that righteousness cannot. Righteousness can always give you a greater pleasure than sin can offer you. And righteousness will always make you feel better. The Bible says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you would obey it to the lust thereof." And joy is a byproduct of obedience to the Lord. Okay, let's look at another one. Hebrews chapter 13. This is 8. Hebrews 13. And also Philippians chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Now this one, part of it, the one we covered this morning about the gift of, or the sacrifice of giving, it talks about that, but it talks about another one in here too. It says, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. "By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do good and to communicate, forget not." So there's two things, to do good and communicate, right? The communication is the giving. You communicate, you give. When you were giving to the Apostle Paul, you're giving to the Lord, you're communicating to him. It says to do good and to communicate, two separate things. Forget not for what? With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Look at Philippians chapter 2. And this is the sacrifice of Christian service. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. And he says this, "Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith," the service of your faith, right? "I joy and rejoice with you all. For this same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." He's saying this, your faith in the Lord and your service are like a sacrifice to him. And if my blood is poured out with the sacrifice, if this happens, I'll be glad and rejoice. But he said, your service and your sacrifice, it's a sacrifice and a service to him. And you know, part of our mission here is inspiring Christians to serve the Lord. And the other Wednesday night, I saw, it's such a blessing to me. I was talking to Miss Marcy earlier today, and with all the people that are doing Sunday school, and the Lord's really allowed us to accomplish a lot in the church this year. And we have a curriculum, and we have so many people involved in Sunday school, and Master's Club, we have a ton of people involved in Master's Club. And Wednesday night, I looked over there, and there was a meeting going on here with all the Master's Club workers. And at the same time, there was a lady that came, because we have Master's Club, to put her kids in it, and she came to me, and she said, "I want to get saved," right? And Miss Kathy took her back into the office and went through the scriptures with her. She made a profession of faith, and she said, "I want to be baptized next, and we're going to follow up with her." She works right across the street. And you know what is a blessing to me to see all those things happen? It's a blessing that the Lord is accepting that sacrifice, that's something we can do for him. You know, we have a guy that drives all the way from Seguin, Texas, and he comes out here and mows the lawn. And he pays for the gas, and he cuts the grass, and he will accept no payment for it. And he says, "I want to do it. The Lord wants me to do it, and I'm not going to charge anything for it." And you know what? It was very difficult for me as a pastor. It used to be very difficult for me to allow people to serve like that because I would feel bad. But you know what? I had to learn that they're not doing it for me. They're doing it for the Lord. And when you sacrificed your time to serve the Lord, that's an offering that God accepts and God loves and he wants. And whether you're teaching in Sunday school or you're working in the nursery or you're working in the music or working in the sound booth or the different things that people do around here. Masters Club, there's so many areas that people are involved in. And you know what's a blessing is the more people I see serving the Lord and getting involved, the more I see the Lord blessing the church, and then the more I see the church sacrificing to the Lord. And it's a continual cycle. And you know what you can always do? You can always get involved in the work of the Lord and serve the Lord, and that's a sacrifice to the Lord. And it's such a blessing, everyone getting together and trying to do something and serve the Lord. And you go and sit in the nursery so some other mother can come to church and enjoy that. And all those hours and things that are doing, you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a sacrifice. Isn't serving the Lord such a blessing because now your life takes on purpose and meaning and it has an eternal purpose? You're not just changing oil. You're not just building houses. You're not just working on other people's books, and you're not just fixing other people's health or whatever that you do. You're doing something for the Lord that has an eternal value and purpose. What a blessing it is to be able to do that. And the Lord says, that's a sacrifice that I accept and I'm pleased with. That's your function, to offer Him spiritual sacrifices. And then the last one, Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll be done. And verse 1, Hebrews 12, 1. No, not Hebrews, excuse me, Romans. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? So if it's your reasonable service, then anything else than this would be what? Unreasonable. Right? To present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what the Lord accepts? And this is not in a weird way or a way where you self-mutilate or kill yourself, but He accepts the sacrifices of our bodies as a living sacrifice. You know what the Old Testament priest would do? He would take an animal and take it and offer it to the Lord. And the giver of the sacrifice no longer had any personal interest in it because he gave it to the Lord, right? And I don't think slavery was a good thing, and I'm all against slavery, right? But what people would do is they would buy somebody as a slave, and that person's energy and everything they have was now owned by that person, right? And the Lord bought and paid for us. And the Bible says this, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, right? And so you know what your body is? Your body is a tool. It's a tool. And you can either serve the Lord with it, or you can serve yourself with it, or you can serve the devil with it. But you know what this is? This is not who I am. This is not Bez Cummings. This is my tent. This is my house that I live in. But I have a soul that's going to be clothed in a new tent and a new house. And but you know what I can do my whole life? Is I can use my soul and I can allow my body to please itself all the time. I can allow it to eat whatever it wants to eat and watch whatever it wants to watch and do with that whatever it wants to do. And guess what's going to happen one day? I'm going to die and my body's going to go to the ground and my soul is going to go to heaven or hell. And guess who pays for what the body did? The soul. So you can either rob from your soul to pay your body, and your body will never pay for it. It'll be a thief, and it'll take everything. Or you can use your body to serve the Lord as a tool to serve the Lord. And what you do is you say, Lord, thank you for giving me this breath. Thank you for giving me these hands. Thank you for giving me this life and this body and these limbs. And Lord, I am going to take this body that you gave me, and no longer will I use it for my purposes. No longer will I use it for lust or for fornication. But I will give it to you, a living sacrifice, and surrender it to you. And I will give you my members, and I'll yield my members as instruments of righteousness to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not your body anymore, it's the Lord's. So you know what you can offer the Lord as a sacrifice that He will accept? You can say, "Here I am, what do you want to do with me? I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. As long as I'm in this body, I'll use this body to serve you as a living sacrifice." Right? So, in conclusion, I'll name the sacrifices, but look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is what? An abomination to the Lord. So if you're lost, can you give the Lord anything? No. The Bible says the plowing of the wicked is sin. It says, doesn't the Bible say where we read that these sacrifices were only acceptable to God by Jesus Christ? See, the only way you can give the Lord something is if you're saved and you're born again, then you can give the Lord the sacrifices. But if you're lost, you cannot please the Lord by offering Him a spiritual sacrifice. Now, I'm going to name the sacrifices. Joy, the sacrifice of joy, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of humility, the sacrifice of giving, the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of prayer, the sacrifice of righteousness, the sacrifice of Christian service, and the sacrifice of your bodies, a living sacrifice. And you know, I don't know if you want to do this, but what I did is I took all those things and I wrote them in the cover of my Bible. So if somebody asks me, "Hey, what can I do for the Lord?" I'll say, "Hey, you can offer Him some spiritual sacrifices, and there's 9 things you can do for the Lord. And there's 9 things you can do for the Lord every day, and they're very simple, and that's what the Lord wants." Right? But so many people try to get you to serve the Lord in ways that He didn't even ask you to do it. Right? Why don't we do what God wants us to do before we do what other people want us to do? And that's how the Lord wants us to serve Him and give to Him in those sacrifices. All right? Let's stand and have the piano player come forward, and we'll pray one verse of a song.